Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, you'll hear part two of my interview with Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers basketball club. For the second year in a row, Peter and the Tigers have advanced to the Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. Peter and the Tigers booked their ticket to Kigali after beating City Oilers of Uganda 80-70 in Cairo, Egypt. I asked Peter, what facets of the game do the Tigers have to improve on from Cairo to beat their next opponent, Stade Malien, on May 20th in Kigali?
We're coming back here to regroup and organize some of the things. Small errors and little time lapses. For example, against Al Ahly, we played probably 32 minutes of great basketball, but the other 8 minutes is what killed us, because the first 4 minutes of the first quarter, I believe they were up 14-2 or something like that. And the same thing we, in the third quarter, you know, gave up about a 14-4 or 12-2 run to start the quarter. Then they always talk about great teams start quarters off amazingly. A team like the Warriors, who has such championship prestige, they are always known as being an amazing third quarter team. When they come out in the second half, they really step on the gas and change the momentum of the game. So, you know, we have a few things that we have to fix, lock in defensively on some stuff that we need to do. And then making sure we stick with the script. You know, we have a game plan every game, offensively and defensively. And when things get a little, you know, rough, or another team goes on a run, understanding that we're not going to do it by ourselves. No one player can save the game. There's no 10-point shot. So just stick to things and, you know, keep believing in the system and running what we've been doing for the last 2 months in training. That way we'll have the success and outcomes that we want. So, you know, there's definitely some rotations on the defensive side, and then just, you know, offensively making sure that we don't break away from the system itself, because a lot of times when we do break away, the floor spacing gets messed up and the offense gets kind of chaotic. Obviously now, depending on who they have to switch, if they need to, there'll also be another dynamic to see who's coming in. It's a lot of talk that our management potentially wants to bring in a true five-man, so I can shift over and play my natural position at the four, you know, as a stretch four. So, you know, we'll take a look at things, but obviously Coach Rashid Hazard is an amazing coach with great resume and experience, you know, multiple championships with the Lakers as an assistant, and also a championship with Rio Grande Valley Vipers in the G League last year as an assistant. So we'll make the adjustment necessary, understanding that Stade Malien is a very athletic team, but like Oilers and Slack, sometimes, you know, they play disorganized basketball, and that's a benefit to us. It's much easier to guard a team that kind of just breaks off and plays pick and roll and, you know, iso ball than a team like Petro, who run their system every possession, pretty much the whole game, where you have to guard every single second of the shot clock.
Peter, did it surprise you that Stade Malien topped the table during the Sahara Conference in Senegal?
Yeah, I mean, that conference was a complete, chaotic mess with how it ended in a five-way tie with five teams at 3-2 and one team at 0-5. And then, so the way the BAL's point system works is the teams that are all tied, the point difference is on those teams together. So none of the games against Guar Falcons mattered for those teams. It was just between those five teams. And based on what happened, I think the Stade Malien had one of their games where they just blew a team out by a lot of points, and it managed to give them the nod on point differential. But, you know, if you might look at it from a basketball aspect and really the seedings, we might have gotten the most favorable seating because, you know, definitely Reg and a team like ABC Fighters on that side and even AS Duanes might be considered a stronger team. So it was a surprise, but that's how the point system, you know, the point differential works on, you know, BAL's tiebreaker. So, you know, maybe it was a favorable matchup for us to end up in fourth place on the other side and, you know, head into this quarterfinal matchup. But, you know, obviously they're a good team. They're very athletic, like to run and, you know, use their athletic abilities. So we got to, you know, make sure we keep those guys boarded down and do the things we have to make them play structured basketball and really make tough shots over good defense and not let them just get into a running game where they're running up and down the floor in a track meet.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with South African basketball player Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers team. Peter has played basketball all over the world, and last year was the first time that Peter has played in Kigali, the Rwandan capital, and the venue once again for the Basketball Africa League playoffs. Peter, what type of atmosphere do you expect in Kigali?
In Rwanda, there's a, I feel like compared to Egypt, maybe, it's a bit more intense, you know, for the love of the game that the fans have. Even on games where, you know, Reg isn't playing, there's more local fans coming to watch just because of the fact that the basketball fans were in Egypt. You know, the basketball community and fan base is huge, but they're very dedicated and, you know, loyal to their team. So it's not that just people are going to show up all the time to watch other basketball. They're going to go watch their team play. So, you know, we saw with Al Ahly that they had a huge fan base there. Where in Rwanda, you know, it's just people showing up because of the love of basketball. So it's always a great environment. You know, we're going in there, unless we play against Reg at some point, it's a neutral, you know, kind of environment, and you can win over the fans. And now if you're putting on the right show, you know, winning basketball games the right way, now you actually gain some supporters. And, you know, if you're playing in a game where we're not, you know, playing against Reg, we could have the fan base on our side a little bit. Other than that, though, if you do play against a team like Reg, who is from Rwanda, the best thing you can ever hear in a foreign gym is silence. If you're playing an opposing gym, that's the most beautiful sound when you have the crowd completely silent and they're not saying anything because you're busy beating their team. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Obviously, we train in Joburg, which is pretty high altitude where, you know, more than we're, I think, higher than Denver possibly here, and Rwanda's about the same in altitude. So, you know, it makes a difference compared to just not only at Cairo at sea level. So us training here definitely helps us in that aspect, because we saw it last year when we went from Cape Town to Rwanda. It definitely has an impact on your physical condition and your fitness, where the oxygen is thinner at a higher altitude.
Peter, just like in season two, the Basketball Africa League held games in Senegal, Egypt, and now we'll wrap up with the BAL playoffs and final in Rwanda. What about South Africa, Peter? Do you see your home country possibly hosting BAL games in the next few years?
I know that's definitely been spoken about and, you know, coming into fruition. They, at the current moment, obviously are going to keep expanding the league itself. The last two seasons, there was two sites for group phases and then playoffs. But we've all heard that, you know, as it continues growing, there will be more sites for group games and, you know, playoffs will be longer. So there's been big talks of a potential new arena that's going to be built here in the Gauteng region in South Africa, the same that they built in Rwanda, you know, an NBA-style modern arena. And I feel like that definitely comes from the push that BAL wants to host here. There's been many times said that BAL loves the thing, you know, the whole culture that we've created here and, you know, the growing of the sports in Africa, and they would love to host something here. So I definitely feel like within the next, you know, year or two, we could be seeing either a window here or potentially playoffs. I think at the current moment, the playoffs will continue being held in Kigali with the facility that's built there and the base that they've had at this point. But yeah, definitely within the next 2 to 3 years, we could have a window being held here in South Africa. Where now we have our home fans behind us while we're playing.
Peter Prinsloo is the captain of the Cape Town Tigers basketball club. Peter was talking with us from Johannesburg, South Africa. Peter, thanks for joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports. And best of luck to you and the Tigers as you get ready for the Basketball Africa League playoffs. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much for having me again. Always appreciate you reaching out to us and talking about the BAL and what we're doing here with the Cape Town Tigers. And looking forward to speaking to you again after we get done with the playoffs.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. In the National Basketball Association playoffs Monday night, the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers both scored victories at home to take 3-1 leads in their respective second-round series. Miami beat the New York Knicks 109-101, while the Lakers rallied to defeat the Golden State Warriors 104-101. The Lakers are now 1 win away from eliminating the defending NBA champions. The hero for the Lakers was the unsung Lonnie Walker, who scored all of his 15 points in the fourth quarter. The NBA's all-time scoring leader, LeBron James, led the Lakers with 27 points, while Anthony Davis had 23 points and 15 rebounds. Speaking after the game, LeBron said, and I quote, "We don't win this game tonight without Lonnie Walker, that's for sure." Game 5 in the Lakers-Warriors series is Wednesday night in San Francisco, where it's must-win for the Warriors. Meanwhile, the AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports on Miami's win over New York, as well as a fine for a star NBA player.
The Miami Heat moved a win away from their third trip to the Eastern Conference Finals in the last 4 years by topping the New York Knicks 109-101 in Game 4. Jimmy Butler scored 27 points and added 10 assists.
We always got a shot to win whenever we're guarding, and we're just playing hard and playing together.
Bam Adebayo finished with 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We need them. At the end of the day, we need everybody. We need everybody contributing, trying to get a win. And tonight, everybody contribute, and we got a win.
Jalen Brunson finished with 32 points and 11 assists.
Gotta give them a lot of credit. They have a lot of experience over there. It's just way better than us tonight. And like you said, we're kind of fighting an uphill battle. And it just didn't do enough within the 48 minutes.
Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic avoided suspension but was fined $25,000 by the league Monday for making improper contact in the stands with Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia. The two-time NBA MVP is all set for Game 5 on Tuesday night in Denver, with the second-round series tied at 2 games apiece. It was nearly the outcome Ishbia was hoping for in a series where the home team has won every game. On his Twitter account Monday, Ishbia praised his team's performance and urged no further disciplinary action for Jokic. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Dark smoke billowed above Khartoum on Monday, even as the warring sides in Sudan's conflict held peace talks in Saudi Arabia aimed at firming up a shaky ceasefire. Plus, journalist Rodney Sear tells me why he wrote the unofficial biography of Liberian President George Weah. Join me, Hayley Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Napoli man Victor Osimhen recently helped his club win its first Italian Serie A title in 33 years. And Victor also put his name in the record books, becoming the highest scoring African in Serie A history with his 47th career goal. For reaction, Iron Mike Imbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming for the city of Naples in Italy. And of course, it was the legendary Diego Armando Maradona that masterminded that title for them in 1987. Now, a young crop players spearheaded by Nigeria's Victor Osimhen and Georgian Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, among others, have landed that, you know, very big city and exciting city, their first league title. It's very good for them and very good for Luciano Spalletti, who cements his name among the top dogs of Italian football as a manager. Having worked with clubs like Roma, Udinese in the past, landing the title with Napoli is really a big deal for Luciano Spalletti. They've totally deserved it right from the start of the season up until this point. They've blown everyone away, and that's why it wasn't a surprise that they won the title with 5 matches to spare. So it's a great feeling right there in Italy, and one cannot just be happy. One cannot just but be happy for the Napoli team. And of course, for the African contingent, they have the likes of Victor Osimhen, the likes of the Cameroonian midfielder Frank Zambu and Guisa as well, who have contributed immensely to the team's great success.
Nigeria's Victor Osimhen has become the highest scoring African player in Serie A with 47 goals, surpassing the 46 goals scored by George Weah. What's your take on this?
It is quite an amazing feat for Victor Osimhen, because at this point, scoring 47 Serie A goals in just 3 seasons and breaking all existing records from African players in the league is quite an impressive one. Although for someone like me, I'm not totally surprised, because you can easily recall from the Sunny Side of Sports in January, I did predict that this was going to happen. Why? Because it was easy to see the trajectory that Victor Osimhen was following. He's still 24 and he's still a rising player. He's not even at his peak yet, but he has shattered so many records in world football. Starting from his underage days, he shattered the record at the Under-17 World Cup in 2015 when he scored 10 goals to lead Nigeria to that title. And now, just 8 years later, he's claiming a big honor in Italy, winning the title for a city that had never experienced that joy in over 30 years, and now claiming all manner of records. He's the king at the moment. He's born to be king, and he's living his dreams. You know, he has not only just been George Weah record, but he has done it in a record way. George Weah needed 114 games to score those 46 goals, but Osimhen needed just 79 games to score 47 goals. That's impressive. The records keep rolling in for the boy, and I'm sure this is not the end of the amount of records and glories that will come the way of Victor Osimhen.
Fisayo, Victor Osimhen has scored 23 goals this season, beating Samuel Eto'o's 21 goals in 2010-2011 season. Do you see Osimhen scoring more goals in the next football season?
Like I said earlier, Victor Osimhen is not even at his peak yet. He's still a developing player. So if by now he has scored as much goals as he has done, you can imagine what would happen next season. You can imagine what will happen in seasons to come. He has not always played without injuries. He missed 6 Syria games this season, and he's still comfortably on top of the goal scorers chart. So definitely, if he stays in Italy next season, he get to shatter even bigger records, not just of Africans anymore, although all the African records are gone. But I am very, very confident he will step it out. Even this particular season, he could shoot himself to be one of the five fastest players to get to 50 goals in the Serie A, although that record it still belongs to Andriy Shevchenko and then Cristiano Ronaldo, but he could get himself to the top five this particular season because there are still four more matches to play. That is how Victor Osimhen is. That is what he stands for at the moment. He will continue to score goals. He will continue to be a menace to defenders, and he will continue to win laurels, both for club and especially for the country, because that's what is left of him, which Nigerian Super Eagles fans will patiently be waiting for, starting from next year's Africa Cup of Nations. Victor Osimhen is a king, and he has come to reign, and I'm sure the whole of African continent and the world at large will wait and behold what manner of talent this guy is.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Stay informed and up to date Monday to Friday at 3:30 UTC with VOA's International Edition.
Our correspondents bring you the news from around the world.
We explore the day's biggest stories with expert analysis and interviews, providing greater understanding for the global audience.
VOA's International Edition, your best source for news and information.
Hello, listeners. My name is David Temong, the Paralympic silver medal 2016, gold 2017, bronze 2020, Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with the quarterfinals at the Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament.
In Algeria, the quarterfinal lineup for the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations is complete after the conclusion of the group phase on Sunday. A new champion will be crowned after holders Cameroon crashed out at the group phase, finishing bottom of Group C with no point, and were slightly edged off the second best placed No. 3 team by South Africa on the account of goals scored. Focus now shifts to the last eight, and what makes the quarterfinal duels more exciting is the fact that winners will be assured of earning a ticket to this year's FIFA World Cup. The biggest fixture in the last eight will be in Constantine on Wednesday, when host Algeria will take on Morocco in what is anticipated to be a closely contested North African derby. Algeria finished second in Group A, while Morocco topped Group B, which was based in Constantine. The first of the four quarterfinal fixtures will, however, be at the Nelson Mandela Stadium in Algiers, where Senegal, who topped Group A with a 100% record, will take on South Africa, who were one of the best two third-placed teams. On Thursday, Annaba will play host to the third quarterfinal, where two-time champions Mali will continue their hunt for a third title when they take on Congo. The order of the best two third-place teams: Mali had a perfect record in Group C, where they topped with a maximum two wins. In Algiers, the last quarterfinal duel will feature Group B runners-up Nigeria, who will go up against their fellow second-place finishers from Group C, Burkina Faso.
Hi guys, I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In athletics, Africa 100 meters record holder Ferdinand Omanyala warmed up for the Kipkino Classic with yet another African record in the 150 meters at the Atlanta City Games, Georgia, United States of America, on Sunday. Omanyala finished third in 14.89 seconds behind the race winner and home athlete Noah Lyles in 14.56. adding to his African 100 meters record of 9.77 seconds attained at the 2020 edition of the Kipkeno Classic. In table tennis news, Egyptians Hannah Goda and Omar Asar are the 2023 ITTF Africa Cup women's and men's single champions following scintillating displays at the Moi International Sports Center Kasarani Indoor Gymnasium in Nairobi, Kenya. In the men's category, Egyptians Omar Asar defeated Nigerian legend Arna Quadri 4-1 in the best of seven men's singles final. In winning the Nairobi edition of the Continental Cup, Asar chalked up his 10th career ITTF Africa title, having won the 2018 edition in Nairobi.
Always share training together, and it's almost there are no surprises in the game. We try to change a little bit there and here and there, but of course, like I said, he's a great player, great fighter, and he's also our African ambassador, and I respect him a lot.
In the women's category, Hannah Goda staged a stunning comeback to defend the women's singles title with a convincing 4-3 victory over Olympian and multiple winner Dina Meshrev.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malle.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In English Premier League football Monday, the shots were firing from teams battling to stay out of the relegation zone. A total of 21 goals were scored in three matches. In the highest scoring game, Fulham beat visiting Leicester City 5-3. The Brazilian Willian and Scottish midfielder Carney each had two goals for Fulham, which is in 10th place in the Premier League with 48 points. Leicester City, meanwhile, is in danger of going down 7 years after winning the league title. Leicester is in 18th place in the 20-team league with 30 points. Meanwhile, Southampton's 11-year stay in England's top division is surely over after a 4-3 loss at Nottingham Forest. Southampton is in last place with 24 points, 8 points from safety with three matches left. Elsewhere, Everton tallied five goals in a surprising win at Brighton. Malian midfielder Abdoulaye Doucouré had two goals for Everton in the team's 5-1 victory. Let's give a Sunnyside a sports shout-out for Abdoulaye. That win by Everton ended a seven-game winless run at the home of a team that had an outside shot at UEFA Champions League qualification. Everton now has 32 points, just 2 points more than Leicester, and the team is right outside the relegation zone. Relegation zone fears in the English Premier League. And that wraps up the May 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.